Good. I'd like to pray, and would you pray with me before we open the word? Our Father, we thank you so much, God, that you're God. We have sung these songs today, and we've talked about lifting up the name of Jesus. We recognize that you are God, you are Creator, you are the Savior, you're the Sustainer, you keep us, you comfort us, you seal us, God, and we just give you great praise and thanks. And Lord, these scriptures speak so intimately to us, and they challenge us to know you and submit ourselves and humble ourselves before you and then to walk with you. And Lord, these scriptures today are about walking with you, and specifically that our lives would be able to, that you would be able to tell us, this is stuff I want to work on in your life. And that we would say, yes, Lord, please keep working on these things. Please work on this in my life. So, Father, we just commit this time to you. Holy Spirit, teach us as we read these scriptures. God, please keep using Pioneer Bible Church as a lighthouse for Jesus Christ in this community and anywhere else. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. We haven't graduated to chapter 5 yet, but we're in Ephesians chapter 4. There's no PowerPoint today unless Mike works some miracle back there, and he did. And let's stand together, and I'd like to read from verse 17 through verse 24 of Ephesians chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, and this is describing the Gentiles, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you might put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. God, speak to us from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we are changed people. If we have trusted Christ as our Savior, we are changed people. And let me just say and ask you at the same time kind of a rhetorical question. When Jesus comes in, we receive Jesus as the Savior of the world. Does he change us? Yes, he makes us a brand new creation. The Bible says that when we believe him, we are saved, we're redeemed, we're transformed. 2 Corinthians says we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 4:15, the verse or two before what we just read, it says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." And so we talked about those verses, but I'm just going to do a quick review. So in that verse, we're to speak truth about God as the Bible describes. In other words, we don't find our truth on the Bible channel. We don't find our truth in ways outside the scriptures. We certainly listen to people who are teaching the Bible, and there are all kinds of those, but we want to speak truth about God as described in the Bible. That's pretty clear. And we want to do it in an attitude of love. 1 Corinthians tells us that if we use our gifts and we use it in the wrong attitude, we're like a clanging cymbal or a clanging bell. We'd have no effectiveness. We're to speak the truth in love. And then that we learn truth about who God is, about how he works, his plan of redemption, who we are in Christ Jesus, how we are a part of his body, that we are to speak truth, believe truth, and live truth. And so when it talks about speak the truth in love, we want to have a good understanding of what the Bible says about God's truth. Number two, this scripture calls us to grow up. And it's interesting how when we get frustrated with people around us, we might say those words. Why don't you just grow up, right? Well, in this passage, we are called to grow up in all things into Christ, who is the head. And by the way, that is a pretty amazing transition and a transformation, because later on we're going to see how the scriptures say, you know, we were once dead in trespasses and sins, right? And we've been redeemed. Now we're in a growing up process. And what we're doing is we're growing up to understand what God thinks about us, what God has done in us, and how we should live for Christ now that we're a believer. The hard part is we still live here in this messed up world. And so the Bible teaches us how to grow up, how to be Christ-like in a difficult place. And of course, we need him to do that, because the Bible calls Christ what? He is the head, and we are the body. So because without the head, the parts of the body have no life. In him is life. This growing is an active process. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there is a challenge in this passage of Scripture. So we're Christians if we've trusted Christ as Savior, and we are called to grow up in him, and we're called to be in this process of growing in Christ. The hard part is we live here in this world, and we have a lot of influences in this world. I don't know if you really think about how media influences our thinking. Television influences our thinking. Movies influence our thinking. Songs and different kind of genres of music influence our thinking. There's a lot of stuff. Our own opinion and what we think influences our thinking. Our friends and our family influence our thinking. But what needs to influence our thinking the most? God. And really, that's the challenge for you and for me, is to let God influence our thinking more than all those other things. Is that a challenge? It is a challenge. We're steeped in the world. We're saturated with the world. And God says that we need to be saturated with him. And I'll tell you, it's a process. That's why we need to read our Bible, and we need to pray, and we need to seek him, and we need to be surrounded by people in the body of Christ. That's what he's calling us to. I've often said, there's nothing perfect about Pioneer Bible Church, but it's the place I want to be. It's the place where God has surrounded me with believers. God has surrounded me with people that want to walk with Christ. Are we perfect? Do we make mistakes? Absolutely. But we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and then the Spirit of God does what? He convicts us, and he admonishes us, and he chides us, and we let the, it says in the following verses, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but listen to the Holy Spirit of God. And so we have all this process. So we are called to speak the truth about God, who God is. We're called to grow up in all things into Christ. And we need to remember that we're in a growing process. We make growing choices. And in this passage of Ephesians 4, 17 through 24, there's this command for us that we should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. And that's really the whole heart of this passage. Don't walk as the Gentiles walk. Gentiles, in this case, we're talking about unbelievers. Don't walk like the unbelieving world. I'll tell you what, this is a tall order. And if God the Holy Spirit wasn't living in us, we would have no hope to do this. I believe we need to be transformed. We need to be renewed in our mind. We need to have God the Holy Spirit working in us. So we're in a growing process. We make growing choices. This scripture commands that we choose to grow in wisdom, God's wisdom, and not in worldliness. And I would really enjoy just having a discussion, if we didn't have anything else to do right now, about how these influences influence us. How worldliness and worldly thinking and worldly philosophy influence our thinking. To some degree, we're a little like that frog in the kettle illustration. You know, we're here and the heat's getting turned up and we're getting affected by it. There's only one way to counter that. That's to be in Christ and in His Word and letting the Holy Spirit work in us and through us. Okay. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, let me just read it to you. It says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Now, I just want to say, as an Old Testament summary of this Ephesians 4 passage, it is a perfect little summary. Here's what it says again. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Okay? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think that you have the corner on wisdom in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. What does that mean to do? It means to believe in Him, to submit to Him, to let Him be the authority in your life, to fear the Lord. And I'll tell you what, there is a fear of God. I know that we respect Him and we love Him and we follow Him and we're grateful to Him. But I'll tell you what, if you're not in Him, you have great reason to be very afraid of what's going to happen, of the decisions you're making to reject Him. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And I, again, just think that's a great summary of Ephesians chapter 4. So we have gone through a transformation. In Ephesians chapter 2, Mike, if you could find this one real quick, Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. And we've already talked about this, but just to recap, it says, "You He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world." Can you see that same theme over and over again here? Walk in Christ, walk in the grace and knowledge of Christ, don't walk in the world. Chapter 2 says, "He made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Who is that? Satan. "The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, just as others." And by the way, there's a contest. There's a battle. There's a struggle between those who think in the world and those who think in Christ. If you don't think people on the outside understand you, you're right. They don't understand you. And then it says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, He saved you. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Now you are alive in Christ." That is great news. So that's the first thing. We who were dead have been made alive. We who once walked according to the prince of the power of the air, now, since we're redeemed, we walk according to the Holy Spirit's leading in newness of life. And it's not just it happened and now I live perfectly, right? It's now I've been redeemed, the Spirit of God is in me, and now I'm learning to walk in the walk of holiness with Christ. It's an ongoing process that's going to continue how long? Till we go be with Christ. That's how long it's gonna go. Good. So this command in verse 17, this command of no longer challenges us on how we should now live as Christians. So in chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." And that is a command to us. You should no longer walk. In other words, we have a choice. And we've got to choose to walk in a way that is pleasing to Christ. With his help, by the way, we know that. We know we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and it is he who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, and so on. So let me just talk about this command of no longer and put some definition to it. So number one, our faith and trust in Christ demands a radical change in the thinking, in the behavior and lifestyle of the believer from the way we once lived, the way we once lived, and the way we once acted. So when we become saved, should there be a difference? Absolutely. When we were saved, when the Holy Spirit came into our lives, there should be a major change in our lives. And it's not a change that we're conjuring up, but it's the new presence of the Holy Spirit in our life who is working in us. But we do need to agree with the Holy Spirit. Any of you ever struggled with hanging on to something from the past and not letting that get transformed in the present walk with God? I think all of us have struggled with stuff. That's the first thing. The second thing, this command to no longer walk as unbelievers shows that Christians have a new relationship with the godless world. It used to be that we were living in that world. We were saturated with that world. We walked and talked the way they walked and talked. Now we're new creatures in Christ, and we have a different relationship with this godless world. And you know, Paul, God, through the Word, and the Apostle Paul says to us, we're not to be so out of the world that we don't affect the godless world. What are we here to be with to the godless world? Salt and light and testimony and influence on this godless world. But we don't have to live like them to have that influence. The third thing, this command to no longer walk as unbelievers shows that we as Christians have a different relationship to the culture in which we live. And I just want to say that culture influences me. The thinking in this world influences me. It is a battle that every one of us need to actively engage in to be thinking like God thinks, thinking like the Scriptures tell us, thinking in such a way that we're seeing fruits of God's Spirit in us and not fruits of the worldly spirit that was in us. So when it says this command to no longer walk as unbelievers shows that we Christians have a different relationship with our culture in which we live. So when parents are raising their children, why do parents go to such extent to protect and guide and limit their children from evil influences? You want to protect them? Why do you do it? How many of you, right? I mean, we've had our kids say to us, "Man, you sheltered us." Yeah, we did. We sheltered you from a lot of the things that were out there. I wrote down words like, you know, violence and pain and all these different immorality, evil. Why do parents do that? Why do parents guard the hearts of their kids? They love them. They love them. Parents protect their children's parents love their children. They try to shield them from the dangerous situations. We protect them because we love them. When I was a little kid, there was a song, and it said, you probably know it. It goes, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." Right? "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear." Remember it? "Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Is that how it goes? What you do or something? Somebody remembers that word. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Oh, I forgot that verse. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Is there more? Yeah. Let's just call that it. Yeah, okay. Be careful of the mouth what you say. Here's the deal. Okay, so we teach our kids like that. My question is this. Why is it when we grow up, we kind of just throw that out? And we start looking at stuff we're not supposed to look at. We start hearing stuff that we're not supposed to hear. And we let our feet take us places where we shouldn't go. When did we get so big and grown up that we didn't have to be careful about what we look at and what we hear, what we see, where we go, what we do? You know, we don't get so old and so mature that we can just handle stuff now, right? Are we now outside of the Father's protection and we think we've got the right ideas? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. So I think there's a tenderness that God is asking us in this passage and passages like this in Scripture to be resensitized to what God wants to do in your soul. So when Paul says to us, I therefore testify in the Lord. This is testimony on the Lord's authority that we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And then it gives this long list of things like futility of their mind and understanding darkened and alienated from the life of God and ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts and who being past feeling. That idea is that there is a callousness. There's a past feeling. We're not even sensitive anymore to what God, the difference between how God thinks and how the world thinks. And God is calling us back to a sensitivity in Him. I wish I had time to actually go over these words, but, you know, futility and so on, it's just hopeless thinking. And that's the world's thinking. It's a hopeless thinking. So I just remind us, God loves us. He is our Father. He wants to protect us from evil influence, from destruction, from deception, from delusion. Listen when the Holy Spirit speaks. Jim Eggert, listen when the Holy Spirit speaks. Don't think we're too big for our britches that we can just keep doing the stuff. We can dabble in the world and not get affected. Paul says, no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. We must be careful because even though we are new creations, we're a new man and there's a new man in us. There's still a lure that our old man craves. Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah. Let's be honest about it. James 1:13-15, it says, every man is drawn away by his own lusts and enticed, so be careful. Romans 7:9-8, it says, you know, Paul's in this struggle. He says, I know what I should do, and I don't do it. I'll tell you what, if the Apostle Paul struggled, we struggle. And we need to look and turn to Christ and limit the input into your soul. You know, if you limit, see, there's this delusion, there's this deception in the world that, man, if I don't see what's out in the world, I'm going to be missing out, right? If I don't see that new movie, or I don't hear that song, or I don't participate in this. And what is God saying? Trust me, I'm your Father. I'll give you everything you need. Everything you need. So in Christ, positionally, we're saved, we're free, we're righteous. Yet in our daily practice, we call on the Holy Spirit to help us in our daily walk. A couple of quick things. We want to be fruitful. I want to be fruitful for the Lord. I want us as a church to be fruitful for the Lord. I want you to be fruitful for the Lord. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, be diligent to do these things so that you will be fruitful. And it's this theme is, you see the same theme in that verse. We want to practice living undefiled. Psalms 119:1 says, blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. Let me put those in a little more simple words. Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the way of Christ. Blessed are the undefiled who no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, but we walk renewed in the spirit of your mind, putting on the new man which was created according to God, and so on. And then we want to walk in purity. And 1 John 3 speaks about that. So again, there is a lure even now that our old man craves, a deception by the evil one. Let me just say, the enemy is a deceiver. He lures with beautiful deceptions and temptations. He desires to lead you away from Christ and to lead you back into futility and dark understanding, and etc. You know, don't be wise in your own eyes, the scripture says. So, kind of in conclusion with this whole thing, in Ephesians 4, verse 20, it says this, but you have not so learned Christ. In other words, in Christ, he has given you a whole new life description, a whole new job description of walking with him. It says, if indeed you have heard about him, and you have been taught by Christ as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, that old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So in Christ, we have heard him. We've been taught by him. We've learned him. And we need to never forget that truth is in Jesus Christ. So we are called to put off some things. We put off our former conduct. Okay? So here again is a situation where you need to examine your own life and heart. I can only examine my life and my heart. I can't examine Willie June's life and her heart. It says you need to put off former conduct. Okay? Secondly, you need to put off the corrupt old man. And I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying I'm not saved. But there's a relinquishing, there's a submission, there's a humility before God and his spirit to say, God, I want to walk in your way. And we put off that which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And then there's the list of put on. And there's no time today, but you know, it's kind of fun to do a change of clothes while you're preaching this kind of sermon. You know, you take off the old man and then you put on the new man. And it says, put on the new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. As God created you and redeemed you, that your soul would live with him and in him. And God challenges us to put on the new man in the sense that God calls us and empowers us to true righteousness and true holiness. Be reminded to not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be deceived to think that dabbling in the world will have no effect on you. You know what I find when I dabble in the world? Is my hope gets kind of chewed up. My identity in Christ gets kind of lost. I don't really know who I am. And so on and so on. So, same questions. Why would God want us to think pure and right and lovely and things of good report? Think on that. Why does God want us to allow him to influence our thinking? Why does God want us to allow him to influence our thinking? I'm sorry, I heard an answer. He loves us, and in this world, he wants us to be fruitful for him. He does want to protect us. Very good. Amen. Thank you. That's a very good verse, Jim. As a man so thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay? So God wants us to think on things. Colossians chapter 3 says, set your mind on things where? Things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You know, Paul describes this vital truth to the Colossian people. Just turn to Colossians for just a second. Colossians chapter 3, Mike, if you're helping me again there. Thank you. This kind of wraps up this sermon. It says, if then you were raised with Christ. So the question is, have you put your faith and trust in Christ? Yeah? Okay. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died. Your old man died. You know, that old creation. Your old man died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. That's exciting. Then there's this whole list. Put all these things off. Put to death, therefore, things on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, and so on. And skipped to the next page. Yep. And then it says, therefore, as the elect of God, in verse 12, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also forgive. All right, so setting your mind on things above. Now, most of you have like DirecTV or DishNet or something like that. We're still in the dark ages. We have an antenna on our roof. And so when you want to tune in to a certain channel, we have this little remote control thing, and it goes bzz, bzz, bzz. And what it does is it turns the antenna. Bzz, bzz. And like the person inside the house is saying, wait a minute, go back. We think we got it. And so you have to push the button twice, and it goes bzz, 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 oh, bzz, 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 and you find it, and you tune it in, right? And you tune it in to the channel that you want to be connected to. In this scripture, it says, set your mind on things above. Tune in to the channel that God has given to us, where there is life and joy and peace and fruit. That's what God is calling us to do. Set your mind on things above. You know, in this world of DirecTV and DishNet and all this other stuff, boy, have we got a lot of choices out there, stuff we can listen to. And you have to be discerning of what you can listen to. But in this illustration, the idea is set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants you to be peaceful. And you know what? When we aren't, we're in the futility of our mind, and we're darkened and we're blind. God does not want his people walking around in that kind of a state. He wants you set on him. Would you pray with me? Team, if you want to come up, and we're going to sing one last song, but I'm going to pray as they're coming. Our God, I thank you that this scripture is so descriptive for us. Lord, this scripture speaks to us, and it says that we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, but we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, that we're to put on the new man which was created according to God. And God, we want to be fruitful as a church. We want to be fruitful in our lives. We want to be living out, seeking those things that Christ has taught us and we have heard about him. Lord, I pray that if there are decisions that we need to make in our own behavior, our own life, that we would let you, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. And then give us the courage to make decisions and not keep slipping back. And although, like Paul, we do slip back. God, I thank you that there is no, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for that truth. With Paul, we want to walk in newness of life. Help us. Thank you for helping us. We depend upon you to help us and help us to help each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King of kings. We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King. We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King. With thy hands lifted high, we will worship and sing. With thy hands lifted high, we come before you rejoicing. With thy hands lifted high to the sky, and the world wonders why. We'll just tell them we're loving our King. Oh, we'll just tell them we're loving our King. We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King of kings. We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King. And with thy hands lifted high, we will worship and sing. With thy hands lifted high, we come before you rejoicing. With our hands lifted high to the sky, and the world wonders why. We'll just tell them we're loving our King. Oh, we'll just tell them we're loving our King. And with our hands lifted high, we will worship and sing. With our hands lifted high, we come before you rejoicing. With our hands lifted high to the sky,
amen. God, we do love you, Lord. We worship you and we praise your holy name, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would go with us as we go through our work week and our week this week, and just give us strength and help us to be bold witnesses and lights to this world, Lord. Let us put off the old man and let us put on the new in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you and God bless. King of kings.